is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here today. Going to talk about Umpqua Valley Arts, Sandy McGee and Sarah Holborough. Sandy, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having us, Kyle.
So talk about the brand new show.
Oh my gosh, there are five new shows at the Art Center right now. We're super proud. In the Hallie Brown Ford Gallery, we have A Watched Pot Always Boils. We have two young gallery committee members who are art students at OSU. They used to go to ECC and they transferred. They're on our gallery committee. And this is one of the ways you can serve at the Art Center is beyond some of our volunteer committees. And Sarah's going to talk a little bit about that. But they came up with the idea of this show because last September was the anniversary of the Voting Rights Act, the 100th anniversary for the women's right to vote. And at that time, 100 years ago, not all women could vote. And so the two students had studied this history and, you know, thinking about what's going on in our world right now and did a prospectus for the show. We did a call for the show, a nationwide call, and the work is amazing. We really encourage people to come by and see A Watch Pot Always Boils. It's really about those voices that have been dismissed throughout history. And we are so excited to be a place to show this important work and to have Serena and Jaden serve the community in this way. It was really exciting for them to do that. And then in the corridor space, we have Postcards for a Beautiful World, Kyle. It has been a really rough year. 2020 was COVID. And, you know, this new year that we're going into, we're seeing things open up. And we wanted to put a call out to our community to put out their wishes for our community for the coming year. What are their hopes and their dreams? And so we got a beautiful show of postcards. We have Roseburg High students. We have community members, and we're super proud of the show that's in the corridor space. And then in the Red Door Gallery, we have artist members Debbie Bates, Andrew Duclos, and Richard Worthy, who's a woodworker. And Debbie Bates is a beautiful watercolorist. Andy Duclos works in oil paints, and they're all, well, Andy and Debbie are plein air artists. The show is beautiful. They're really amazing. And so that show is called Wood, Water, and Oils. And then in Gallery 2, we have the Paul Smith exhibit. So UVA's permanent collection of typewriter art by Paul Smith is in Gallery 2 right now. It's phenomenal. His work has been all over the country. There are videos of Paul making his work and being interviewed about his work, and the Art Center has over 200 pieces of Paul Smith's work. And in the gallery, we have about 18 pieces showing right now. It's amazing.
How far back does some of his work go?
Oh, my goodness. We looked at pieces that were from the 40s. Kyle. So, you know, one of the things that when we were picking out the work to frame, we were looking at his work. And, you know, Paul Smith had cerebral palsy and he lived in Rose Haven and he was not able to be part of the war effort. But his artwork became his way of contributing. He did these beautiful typewriter works of ships, of airplanes, of veterans. There's an extensive collection that the Art Center has of his work where he's really thinking about what was happening at that time. So it goes from the 40s all the way until, you know, the early 2000s when he, just before he died. So he worked up until the very last day.
I remember the first time I saw his work, I can't even remember how many years ago it was. I actually didn't think it was typewriter art at first. I think I thought something like, how did somebody make it look like it was typewriter art? I mean, because it's like, how do you come up with this?
Yeah, it's amazing. You look at the work and you have to take a double take. You have to get up close to this work. And we really invite people to come and make an appointment to see these shows. It's phenomenal. And, you know, Paul's work, you have to get up close. You really have to see the marks of the typewriter. And once you see them, it's this wonderful moment of discovery.
Speaking of make an appointment, explain that whole part.
So we invite our entire community to come to the Art Center to see all these shows, to see us. We have a beautiful gift shop that's open all the time. But what you're going to need to do is we're keeping people safe, and you're going to need to go to our website, and there's a button you can click that you can schedule an appointment, and you get an entire hour of art really to yourself. People are really loving this opportunity, and we're having lots of people show up, and we just really invite more people to come. We miss you. We want you to be at the Art Center. Our place is yours.
So what kind of time frames, which days are you open for that?
We are open Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
So go online and then you can just make it, make the reservation there?
Just go to uvarts.com and you can make the reservation there by clicking on the button. It'll take you to a form and you just fill it out. It's really simple, Kyle. And also, you can call us. So if the phone is easier for you, you can call 541-672-2532.
What about artists right now? What kind of opportunities do you have coming up?
Oh, so many things. Well, right now, we've got a call out for art vendors for the Summer Arts Festival. We are looking for artists who are making work. We love our local artists. We really invite people to come to the festival and to show your work. So we've got that call out right now, which is an opportunity. Artworks Northwest Biennial is out right now, although that call closes on Friday. We have Grace Cook Anderson from the Portland Art Museum, who is the curator of the Pacific Northwest art up there. She is our juror this year, and I encourage artists to put their work in front of her. She's a really great person, and you know, you really want this person to see your work. So that call closes on Friday, but you can go to our website to check out all of the artist opportunities that are there. We're also always looking for gift shop artists.
And what's involved there? What kind of art are you looking for in that?
You know, Kyle, in our gift shop, we've talked a lot about having your own ceramic mug to drink your coffee from in the morning, bowls. We have jewelry. We have fiber artists. We have master weavers like Corinne Geddes, who's part of the Umpqua Weavers Guild. Her dish towels are in there. We have Holmes Toffee in there. There's just any number of really small and special gifts that you can give your loved ones and that you could give yourself. I really encourage you to buy something for yourself.
So for the past 12 months, being an art organization, I mean, challenging doesn't even begin to hold a candle to what it's probably been like.
You know, Kyle, it's been definitely a very challenging year, but it's also been a heartening year. We've had, the staff was talking about this today, you know, when COVID first hit and we had to close our doors, the first thing we did was we put out art kits to the community. And, you know, we didn't know what we were doing at that time. We just knew that we wanted to continue to connect with our community through art experiences. And we've been able to do that this entire time. You know, you just find a way to do it. You know, we're a mission-based organization, Kyle, and so we're always going to try to find a way to serve our community through our mission. And no matter what's going on in the world, you know, we have such a great staff and volunteers and members. People are always, they know that, you know, especially times during like COVID, it's more important than ever to connect with your community through art and art experiences and to get that sense of comfort and well-being that you get through making things.
Did you find that you were conversing or kind of maybe you've got platforms that you can look at to see what other arts organizations were doing? Because I'm sure a lot of people at the same time were going, okay, what do we do?
Oh, yeah. You know, we were all reaching out to each other. You know, I talk with Mike Fisher, who's the executive director up at the Maude Kearns Art Center up in Eugene, Corvallis. There's just, we all reached out to each other. You know, it really tightened. Like I said, it was a heartening, even though it was a challenging time, it was also very heartening. People were connecting in ways that we had not connected before. And we're still meeting with each other and talking about the ways that we are continuing to serve our community and that we have to serve our community through sort of these changes that are taking place in our culture.
What about digital programming? What do you have going now?
You know, we've got on our website, we still have a lot of the art lessons that we had put out over the course of the year. So anybody can go to our website and there are easy, wonderful, really fun projects for youth and adults that they can go to through our website. We are also making art kits. So one of the things that we figured out during that time where we were shut down is that people really wanted things that they could take home and make at home. Sarah's got a kit out right now that she's been working with TEDx on, and it's the rock painting kit, and she'll talk to you about that a little bit. But, you know, we've got lots of things on our website that you can go and check out, and you can give us a call, and we can tell you what's out there.
More when we come back. A look at Umpqua Valley Arts and Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lakeside, Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1 tomorrow. A wine in the Umpqua program. Dyson DeVaro is going to be our guest tomorrow, talking about Umpqua Valley Arts. Sarah Holbro, the outreach director of UVA, in with us as well. During this past year, with all the challenges, I'm sure that people being actual paying members has been kind of a big deal for UVA.
It's a huge deal for UVA. We rely on our members. They become a part of our family, and they really are a huge support source for us, not only financially, but emotionally. They really inspire the work we do, and each and every single one of our members is a special piece of our family puzzle and adds so much to our community.
Along with members, talk about, because you've got such a small staff, the need for volunteers.
We rely so heavily on our volunteers, Kyle. We have so many areas for people to volunteer and support the work we do. At UVA, we actually only have 3 full-time staff. So to execute our programming and the work we do, our events, Summer Arts Festival, we rely so much on volunteers. Our last volunteer event where we celebrated our volunteers had, we invited close to 200 people, which is pretty incredible. And we have volunteers that have been volunteering for us for over 50 years, which is incredibly special and something we really value as an organization.
Now, Sandy mentioned this a few minutes ago. Talk about the rock painting and the TEDx Roseburg connection and all that.
Sure. Well, we had the opportunity to partner with TEDx Roseburg a few months back. They approached us to do a rock painting project for the community. The TEDx Roseburg theme this year was ripples, and much like an idea that somebody would talk about, art can create a ripple in the community around you. And we saw rock painting as an incredibly easy vehicle for community members of all ages to cast their ideas and their inspiration into our community and essentially decorate Douglas County with the hopes and dreams of your friends and neighbors.
So what are people doing with these so far? Are you aware of them getting out there?
They are actually all over the place, Kyle. I'm not sure if you've ever found one, but they are on the bike paths. They're at coffee shops. They're on nature trails. And absolutely, all ages are participating in this. There are community groups that use hashtags. We have rock painting kits if you don't want to go out and get all of the materials on your own. And really, the options are endless to decorate a stone and leave it for somebody else to find. And the stories that you'll read online in these different community groups are pretty incredible. Recently, I read a story about a young woman who traveled to the Oregon coast from Idaho. She had recently lost her husband to suicide, and she was in Oregon visiting family, and she found it a painted stone on the beach, and she has kept that stone with her over the past year to draw strength and inspiration from as she's grieved the loss of her husband. And she recently placed the stone out in the community, knowing that she was ready to let go and let somebody else draw that strength and inspiration. So it's pretty incredible. Your stone can travel all over the world.
Wow. Fast forward to summer a bit and talk about the Summer Arts Festival.
Summer Arts Festival, we are so thrilled to be able to have festival again this year. We missed everyone so much, and we know that the community really missed festival. Last year would have been our 52nd annual year, and it's truly a summer tradition and a community gem. And I'm going to let Sandy talk more about Summer Arts Festival and the opportunities and what our hopes are for this year's festival. That will look just slightly different.
Yeah, and for anything happening this summer, it's going to look slightly different. What do you have planned?
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, everybody can look forward to a real arts festival, the one that they know and love. We won't have quite as many vendors out there, so we are distancing people so that everybody can be safe. And that is number one for us. We want to make sure, we want everybody to come out, but we're making sure by making space that everybody can be there all at once, you know, and do the things that they love to do, which is to shop for beautiful pieces of art, original, unique pieces from and buy directly from the artists. So we are going to have the, like, some of the usual cast of characters, you know, are real legacy vendors, the people that are out there. Kyle, you've got a ring on right now from Simplistic Designs, and I just got off the phone with them the other day. There's just going to be some amazing work there. We've got incredible ceramicists that are going to be there. So yeah, the show's going to be lovely and very rich and full of quality, good work, but it's going to be a little bit distanced so that people have space to feel safe.
So it sounds like you're already getting applications in and people interested.
Absolutely. You know, we launch our application process January 15th, and it's that moment at midnight we get a ton of applications. So applications are coming in. We're filling up our food court so people can look forward to really good food being out there in the summertime. I know everybody out there is looking forward to that. A little sun on your face, a little warmth around your shoulders, some good food from one of our local food trucks, and just like seeing like ceramic work, jewelry, all those handmade things. I mean, it's such a great experience. You know, even if you're not a maker and you don't make art, you can come out and you can appreciate art, and you can appreciate everything from music to community acts like Susan Chitwood. We have the Chitwood dancers here every year. It's a tradition. They're so lovely. They really touch people. And, you know, you'll see dance, you'll listen to music, and you'll see visual art.
And what about volunteers for that?
Always need volunteers. We, you know, as Sarah said so beautifully, we really could not exist without our volunteers. They make up for, if we are 30%, they make up the 70% of what it is and how it is we do the things we do. And so especially volunteer heavy for Summer Arts Festival. We're going to be putting a launch out, a call to all those people out there who want to volunteer for the Summer Arts Festival. It could not be the more fun to volunteer for Summer Arts Festival and a good way to introduce yourself to the Arts Center. To be somebody who works at the gates and greets people as they walk in, or be a booth sitter, someone who sits in somebody's booth while the vendor takes a break. You know, it's such a helpful thing to do. It's an easy thing to do and a fun thing to do. So that call is going to be up on our website on April 19th.
Also on your list here for this summer, what is the Community Art Project? What's that about?
Oh my gosh. Okay, Sarah, I kind of want us to chime in together on this. The 50th anniversary, we're so excited. The 50th anniversary of this organization, Umpqua Valley Arts, has been in this community for 50 years, Kyle. It's a miracle. Okay. And again, we're here because of our volunteers. So we want to celebrate all of those things and all the things that make up UVA. And so for the 50th anniversary and for the community project that we're doing at the art festival is we're painting a big 50. Okay. That's just a clue of what might come down the line. So there's going to be an installation at the Art Center that people can look forward to. But at the Arts Festival, people are actually going to contribute to this installation by painting the numbers 50 for the Art Center.
Sarah,
and maybe, Sarah, you could talk a little more.
Yeah, we've got about 30 seconds left. Tell us a little bit more.
So UVA it thrives off being a part of this community. The community means so much to us, and our 50th celebration wouldn't be the same without a piece of each and every person in the community. If you want to be a part of this project, you have to come to festival. And that's about all I can say about it, because we want to leave some mystery about what this project is, but you will see it all over social media.
All right, we end with a mystery. We don't normally wrap up Inside Douglas County that way, but we are today. All right, Sarah Holborough and Sandy McGee, and back tomorrow with the Wine and the Umpqua program. Dyson Navarro will be here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.